Support for the show comes from Mercury. Startups, you don't need to settle for cumbersome banking experiences to protect your money. Mercury offers banking and credit cards with an effortless experience, giving ambitious companies greater precision, control, and focus without compromising security. Open smarter checking and saving accounts, control spend, optimize cash flow, and close the books in record time. Visit Mercury.com to join more than 100,000 startups that trust Mercury with their finances and to help them perform at their highest level.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to the Prof G Pod's Office Hours. This is the part of the show where we answer your questions about business, big tech, entrepreneurship, and whatever else is on your mind. If you'd like to submit a question, please email a voice recording to officehours@profgmedia.com. Again, that's officehours@profgmedia.com. First question, and again, I do not see or listen to these questions before they are submitted. So that raw, authentic, unfinished, you know, what is it? The uncut version. What was it called? The Criterion uncut version, where you'd go buy a laser disc for some reason and think it was going to be a new movie because they include a two-minute scene that justifiably was cut out of the movie. Anyway, first question.
Hi, Prof G. My name is Jordan, and I'm calling from Boca Raton, Florida. Thank you so much for this opportunity to ask a question. My father and I constantly bond over your books and ideas, and we really appreciate what we learn from you. So thank you. I'm currently studying communications at an international university in Israel, and I continue to find that my teachers and professors truly make a huge impact on me, both in and out of the classroom. I feel like we as a society still have a ways to go in recognizing teachers for all the work they do. For many kids, an inspiring teacher can be such a positive figure. How can we get to a place where teachers are compensated and recognized at a level equivalent with the impact they make?
I think high school teachers average around 60 or 62 grand. That means they average, meaning for every person that makes 80K, someone's making 40K, which I believe is the lowest paid category or profession that requires a Bachelor of Arts. The labor supply market is a function of supply and demand, and a lot of people want to be teachers, meaning that schools can continue to underpay or pay at the level they pay. There's some nuance here. High school teachers are underpaid. A high school principal in Massachusetts makes $160,000. However, 97 of the 100 highest paid public servants in the state of Massachusetts work for the University of Massachusetts. And there's several chancellors and administrators there that make $1 million a year. It's very difficult to talk generally about all teachers. What I will say is that I think one means of maintaining the supply-demand economics that I think that hold people accountable and recognize the choices they make is that we should offer more forgiveness around student loans for people who decide to go into teaching. Because if you need a BA, the cost of a BA, I think we're losing a lot of fantastic human capital that would like to teach, but because they come out of undergrad with so much debt, they are forced to go into higher paying professions. Complicated topic. I agree with you. It would be nice if there was more compensation involved. But I, as someone who is an academic, granted not undergrad or not primary, but secondary, I sometimes worry that we're overpaid. Anyways, Jordan, Boca Raton. Good for you. And not only that, the nicest thing anyone has said, really the nicest thing anyone has said to me in a long time is that my content is a means that you bond with your father. That means a lot to me. Thank you for saying that.
Thank you, Professor. Thanks to the whole team. Appreciate it.
Next question.
Hi, Prof G. I'm Mary Catherine from Irvine, California. And my question is, as a fellow parent, I would love to know what advice you are giving your two boys in regard to education after high school. Are you going to be pushing college or even post-secondary degrees? And, you know, just more broadly, with your experience being highly educated and in the academia world, would just love to know what you want to pass on to your boys. You know, what they will take away from your experience.
Do you have kids, Mary Catherine?
I do.
How old?
4 and almost a year.
Oh gosh, you're in the midst of it. That's an active household. So people talk a big game about letting their kids do what they want to do and alternatives to college, and billionaires are funding people to drop out of college, and some of our most famous entrepreneurs famously dropped out of college. I would be heartbroken if my kids didn't go to college. And I've fallen into the same trap I think a lot of parents fall into, and that is I'm very focused on them getting into what I'll call an elite university. And I'm not proud of that, but I desperately want that. And I'm trying to inculcate in them a sense of academic achievement such that that is an option for them. As expensive as college is, if you get into a good school, it's still a fantastic ROI. Graduates earn on average around 65 grand a year, I think it is, and non-college grads are earning about 39K. And over the course of your lifetime, that delta gets even broader. People with college degrees on average make a multiple over their lifetime in terms of earnings versus non-college grads. The pressure we're putting on our kids is becoming immense because every year it gets harder and harder. I went to UCLA and UC Berkeley. The admittance rate at UCLA when I applied, Mary Catherine, I'm older than you, was 70%. And I had to apply twice. This year, the admittance rate will be 9%. I would bet the admittance rate to UC Irvine is low double digits, meaning that 7 out of 8 households in Orange County that would love to have their kid go to a great school, be an anteater, are going to get a rejection letter. And it's just heartbreaking. Spring used to be a nervous but joyous time for households to see where their kid was going to college. Now it's sort of the season of despair when you find out that your daughter, your son, who played by the rules and did really well, isn't going to a university that they'd hoped to go to. We need alternative paths into a great middle-class lifestyle that don't involve college. We have to recognize that 2/3 of our kids will not end up with a traditional BA. But being very blunt, I would be heartbroken. But you have some time to figure this out, Mary Catherine. Oh my gosh, the world is going to be so different in 15 years. Who knows how we're going to be learning. But congratulations on 2 kids and living in a wonderful part of the world. I appreciate your question, Mary Catherine.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate your time.
Take care. We have one quick break before our final 2 questions. Stay with us. Support for the show comes from Betterment. Even the most hardcore of us need to kick back and chill every now and then. But if you're an investor, chill is the last thing you want your money to be doing. You want it to be pumping iron and running marathons for you. If you want your money performing at an Olympic level, you might want to check out Betterment's automated investment and savings app. Betterment's automated technology gives you advanced tools that are built to help maximize returns. Tools like diversified, expert-built portfolios of low-cost ETFs, high-yield cash accounts, and automated investing technology, including automated rebalancing. Plus, Betterment can help with tax-efficient investing. Strategies including their Tax Loss Harvesting Plus and Asset Location can help minimize your taxes and maximize your returns. So whether you're saving or investing, your money should be working as hard as it possibly can for you. Consider Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. You can visit Betterment.com to get started. You can learn more about high-yield cash accounts at Betterment.com. Investing involves risk. Performance not guaranteed. Cash reserve offered through Betterment LLC and Betterment Securities. Betterment is not a bank. Support for Prop G comes from NerdWallet. You don't have to be a genius to start making better financial decisions today. It's not that sexy, but piling up lots of little monetary victories today can yield some pretty significant rewards down the line. The tricky part is knowing where to start. NerdWallet can help. Their financial experts have helped countless people find ways to maximize every dollar they earn. Now, the team is helping folks get more from every dollar they spend. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering up to 10 times the points on every dollar you charge. Their expert team of nerds do the work reviewing top credit cards so you can trust you have the smartest one for future you. If I had better rewards right now, I'd probably upgrade my hotel at South by Southwest so I could have a big fat party and everyone would be impressed and love me. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. Welcome back. Question number 3.
Hey, Prof. G. I'm Prof. P., a tenured professor at Syracuse University. Now, I've heard your thoughts on tenure, so try not to hold that against me today. But I'm here to ask you about the mental health crisis on college campuses. Recent data show that 1 in 5 students have a diagnosable mental illness, but more than 3 times that amount experience symptoms. A university's response is often to open up a center and employ more counselors. In my opinion, these solutions are happening too far downstream. So how does academia need to respond to better meet the needs of students? And more importantly, how do we as a society head this off more upstream?
Prof. G, Prof. P, this is like East Coast, West Coast rap wars here. And by the way, Prof. P, you should be in HR recruiting. We have 2 outstanding colleagues, Caroline Chagrin and Claire Miller, who I believe are students of yours. Is that correct?
Correct. Both former students. And I want to make sure that, they're not giving you any trouble. If they are, make sure you tell me and I'll take care of it.
Trust me, the trouble's on my end. Thanks for the thoughtful question. We struggle with this, as I'm sure you do at Syracuse every day. And that is, university administrators have unwittingly become mental health counselors. 1 in 5 American adults struggle with mental illness. It's 1 in 3 for people between the ages of 18 and 25. Jonathan Haidt, a colleague at NYU, says that the emerging crisis in mental health among teens is a function largely of 2 things. One, concierge or bulldozer parenting, where we use so many sanitary wipes on our kids' lives that they don't develop their own immunities. And then they get to Syracuse or NYU, get their first C, get their heart broken, get worried about getting kicked out or can't compete or used to being the best in their class, and all of a sudden they're not. And they literally can't handle that type of disappointment and kind of melt down. And then the second thing, especially among young women, is the lack or the self-destroying process that is social media. Boys bully physically and verbally, girls bully relationally, and we put these nuclear weapons in their hands in the form of phones and social media. So what can be done? Gosh, I think it's a multidimensional thing. I think the first thing is to destigmatize it, and that is to say, okay, you catch a cold, you don't find it shameful. You aren't scared to talk about it. You aren't scared to go to your parents and say, I have a cold. I think there's some fantastic innovation online in terms of talk therapy or apps that help people reach out in real time to a therapist. There's some interesting innovation there. I think that insurance companies need to take a more proactive approach towards mental well-being. And instead of it being disease state on our heels, get onto our toes. I proactively try and manage my mental health. I don't know if you do the same thing, Profi. I have an acronym, SCAFA. I sweat, which resets me. I try and eat clean. Abstinence from alcohol and THC, which I love. But I find when I'm not right in the head or I feel a little bit off, it's better just to take a break. I find being around family very grounding. And affection, whether it's with my dogs or having my kids pile on me and watch TV, I find that that proximity to other beings and touch is really, really valuable. But I don't think there's a silver bullet here. I think it's a huge issue. I think universities play a role, but I think it probably starts earlier with parents, with the medical profession, and just societal, to removing the societal stigma. Anyways, Prof. P, thanks for your good work. And keep sending us those outstanding professionals. I feel as if we should give you some stock in Prof. G Media in Section 4. You're literally our one-man HR department. You're doing something right, Prof.
I got more in line, ready and waiting for you.
We love it. All right. Thanks for your good work, Prof. Go Orange.
Thank you.
Next question.
Hi, Prof. G. My name is Maggie Walsh, and I'm in New York City. I work in consulting, helping higher education institutions think about the future and improve their student experiences, often through the built environment. I'm also beginning my MBA at Stern part-time starting in the fall. So my question is, if you had the chance to start fresh and build a brand new institution inclusive of undergraduate education and intended to rival the greats, what would be its defining characteristics, thinking about its curriculum, its model, facilities or partnerships, its business model?
Thanks, Maggie, and congratulations on getting into Stern. I think we need to de-Hermes higher ed and recognize that the goal of American higher ed isn't to take the top 1% and turn them into billionaires, but take the bottom 90% and turn us into millionaires. I don't think that these campuses need to be Ritz-Carlton, Brentwood, or the Four Seasons in Chapel Hill. I think they should be more cost conscious. I think faculty should be held more accountable and be more efficient and productive. So broader admittance rates, lower costs, give unremarkables opportunity to have remarkable futures, as the University of California did for me. My startup, Section 4, is largely based on these principles. We're trying to give you 68 to 80% of the classes you're going to take at Stern for 1% of the friction. You don't have to apply. You don't have to be a certain age. And 10% of the cost. The courses cost $700 versus if you take my course, it'll cost you $7,000. Now, having said that, it's still worth it. There's room for both those segments. The top 20 business schools are still a fantastic ROI, as expensive as they are. It's just most people are not as fortunate as you. If you have kids, it's very hard to get an MBA. If you don't have the confidence or wherewithal to borrow six figures, it's hard to get an elite MBA. If you aren't willing to move to Soho or Ann Arbor or Palo Alto, it's hard to get an MBA. So I think of business school as being the most scarce product in the world. What do I mean by that? Global recognition. People recognize the transformative experience that you're about to register. It will change your life. It'll be wonderful. And yet the total population of people who get to register that transformative experience is 8,000 people. So it's literally the most scarce product in the world. So I hate to use the word democratization, but more access, broader admissions rates, lower costs, and let's fall back in love with the unremarkables. Maggie's going to be in Soho in the fall. Oh my gosh, an educational consultant going part-time to Stern. You should take time to stop and smell the roses. There are no roses in Soho. You should take time to stop and smell the kombucha and the overpriced lattes. I will see you on campus, Maggie. I will see you on campus. Thanks for the question.
Thank you. It was great.
That's all for this episode. Again, if you'd like to submit a question, please email a voice recording to officehours@propgmedia.com. Our producers are Caroline Chagrin and Drew Burrows. Claire Miller is our assistant producer. If you like what you heard, please follow, download, and subscribe. Thank you for listening to the Prof G Show from the Vox Media Podcast Network. We will catch you on Thursday.